Hello, Penny Droppers. I have just learnt a new sound. Now, there will be a certain person who knows this sound. There are actually two of them, but they signal the same thing. Here's the first one. And the second one? You got any idea what they signal? You will by the end of this episode, because those sounds signal something disengaging. And it's something that anybody who's doing a media, podcast, or panel interview needs to know how to disengage. And if I do my job right, you'll know how to do it by the end of this episode. I've interviewed a lot of people. Like, I think the count is about 25,000 now. And there's something that I see all the time. I can see it in my guests' eyes, in their body language, in their answers. And I reckon you will have noticed it too. And it happens in two ways. Both are unuseful during an interview. Both are obvious to anyone listening, but both are easily fixable. And both happened to me during a recent workshop. So I just kicked off a virtual storytelling workshop with a group of about 70 people. It had been on hold since COVID. I guess you could say I was over-prepared, but we were all really excited to finally be doing it. Off we went, and I'm beaming into people's offices, their lounge rooms, kitchens, and I was about halfway through my opening story when someone started waving their hands madly at their camera. No one could hear me. Panic stations. So I quickly fixed the dodgy technology. I restarted my story. I got about halfway through again when the fire alarm in my building went off. Seriously. And you can imagine the sorts of things that went through my head in the next 5 seconds. It was like, is that a fire alarm or a security alarm? Can they hear the siren through my mic? Is this real or a drill? When's the next break in the agenda? Do you reckon I could seamlessly evacuate the building while staying connected to the internet and still talking? What do I do now? And then I remember thinking, what am I even saying right now? And it turns out that while my brain was thinking all of those things, my mouth was still telling my story. I'd gone into autopilot. So when the fire alarm went off, my mind accessed something called the default mode network, or DMN. And I know that that makes me sound like I morphed into some kind of fancy AI bot, but this brain mode is very human, and it allows us to think about other things while we're performing a familiar task without much conscious effort. You might be familiar with this feeling or this brain mode, as it's that thing that happens when you're in the car, you leave A, you end up at B, but you can't remember the actual drive. So in this instance, in the workshop for me, going into default mode network was pretty useful because it allowed space in my brain to work out what I needed to do to solve the immediate problem while seemingly keeping calm and carrying on. And the research says that this brain mode can be super useful for in generating ideas, creativity, memory consolidation, because it allows our mind to wander. However, it's rarely useful in interviews. As a host, I know straight away if someone's gone into this brain mode, be it literally or metaphorically, because it's when their mouth is saying one thing, but their face is saying another. So their mouth is trying really hard to answer my questions, but their brain gets in the way as it's wandering, it's wondering, and it's worrying. In their brain, they're thinking, did I answer that last question okay? Is that what they wanted? Or I wonder who's listening. Will my boss hear this? Or which camera am I meant to be looking at? Was it that journalist or is it this one down here? Or even things like, can they see that my hair keeps going in my face? Should I put it back or should I just leave it where it is? Or even, is it really hot in here or is it just me? All of those things can go through our mind while we're still saying words out our mouth. If you've ever finished an interview and you can't remember what you've said, or maybe you've watched a clip back and you've thought your face looked stunned, you can blame your default mode network for that. But there's another type of autopilot. So just before the fire alarm went off, I'd got so busy sharing my content that I didn't even notice that people couldn't hear me. So this is known as inattentional blindness, and it's when we're so busy focusing on the job at hand that we don't even notice what's going on around us. And there was a study that was done at Western Washington University that found people who were talking on their phones while walking their regular path, their way to or from work, didn't see that there was money hanging down from trees. They just walked straight past the money. So when we flick to this type of autopilot, we quite literally miss the gold. So often as guests, we can get so focused on sticking to the script that we miss those golden opportunities for engagement, for genuine interaction. We miss crucial cues and follow-up questions, or we talk even though no one can hear us. And look, this makes us sound really inauthentic or overly polished or like we're on repeat. So what do we do about default mode network or inattentive blindness? So I've got three plus one things we can do to disengage autopilot. Yeah, that's what these sound effects mean. The first one is Airbus, and this second one is Boeing. But yeah, our bodies don't have a button. So we need these three plus one things that we can do to be a more conscious or perhaps a manual pilot of our bodies and our brains during interviews. So the first one, yeah, breathe. It sounds really simple, but it's usually the first thing that changes when our nerves take over our bodies. And yeah, the idea of controlling our breathing in order to control our nerves, calm our bodies, and bring ourselves into the present is an age-old technique. And there was some work done at Stanford University to try and understand why it works. And what they found is that deep, controlled breathing directly impacts the brain's arousal center through a group of nerves that regulate our breath. And so by focusing on slow, steady breaths, we can calm our mind, reduce nervousness, and become more present in our bodies during high-pressure situations like interviews. And I know it's really easy to dismiss something so simple, but it is the first thing that will help you get out of autopilot or stop you from turning it on. I know it might sound woo-woo, but I really do think it is the first thing that you should do to pull you back into the present. And look, the pro tip here is to try the 4-7-8 breathing technique. So you breathe in for 4 seconds, hold the breath for 7 seconds, and exhale for 8 seconds. So the first thing, breathe. The second thing is what I call over my dead body language. Depending on what study you read, our body language is responsible for more than half of our communication. But in high-pressure situations, our body language can do its own thing. It changes a bit. And so getting to know what our body does in low-pressure situations can help us keep things in check when we're under pressure. So next time you're having a conversation with a friend, just notice what you're doing with your body and then bring this into your interviews. How are you sitting? What are you doing with your hands? Do you lean in when you ask a question? Are you mirroring their expressions? And so this is going to make you feel like you during your interviews, but it's also going to make you feel you during interviews. You'll feel yourself in your body, in your place, in space, and bring you right back into the present. Now, the pro tip here is you can record yourself next time you're in a Zoom or Teams session and then watch back to see what your natural body language is on screen, or better still, ask someone you trust to record you when you don't realize it during a low stress conversation. And watch that back, you'll be amazed at how much you move. The next thing, put your best face forward. You got to make sure your face matches your words, because sometimes when we're uncomfortable, as I mentioned earlier, our face does its own thing. We smile nervously, fear pops out our eyes, or we look like we've seen a ghost. We need to consciously take control of our face and make a point of doing this before we start the interview. One of the really easy ways to do this is to think about the meaning of the words and phrases as we say them and let our face copy that. So a pro tip here too, unless it's inappropriate, it's really useful to smile Before you start speaking, I'm doing it now. Can you hear it? It is amazing how much just smiling changes the tone of your voice. And finally, this is the plus one tip. Hold a voice warming. I don't want you to trip over the threshold before you get started. You need to warm up your voice. I am always amazed at how many guests cough or croak when they say their first words. Our voice is our key tool in an interview, so we've got to warm it up. And I'm not expecting a full actor-style warm-up here, but make sure you have spoken before you deliver. And the pro tip? Belt out a song in the car on the way to your interview, or go to the bathroom and hum from quiet to loud and down again. Do this a few times and then say, Benedict Cumberbatch, Benedict Cumberbatch, moving your lips as much as you can. It's fun. You'll feel silly, but better to feel silly there in the bathroom than behind the microphone, right? And so that's it. That is four things to help you be a conscious pilot of your body during an interview. Breathe. Learn your natural body language. Put your best face forward and hold a voice warming. So last week, we learned that a big part of your interview performance is all in the mind. In today's episode, we've focused on having an in-of-body experience, and in the next episode, I'm going to show you how to lift your spirit so your authenticity shines through. And that'll make up 9 things to do during interviews to help you be a better guest. If you have been following along and you're like, this stuff makes sense, but I don't know how to do it, then great news. I've just opened up the wait list for my Be a Better Guest 3-hour online workshop because they are coming back. Starting in June, I'll be rolling out a series of these public workshops. If you would like to join the wait list, then you can send me an email to penny@pennyterry.com with the subject line just saying wait list, or you can send me a message in Substack if you know how to do that, and you will get first access to early bird tickets. I'm so excited about these workshops. They have been revamped. And look, joining the waiting list guarantees that you'll get first dibs for the workshop registration, but it doesn't come with any obligation. You don't have to sign up. So you may as well get on the wait list because these workshops, they're going to be epic. You'll come out the other side knowing how to speak with conviction and without regret, ever. Imagine that. Okay, well, that's your job this week. Get on the wait list and I will speak with you next episode.